opinions you hear on the Business Talk Radio Network are those of the hosts, callers, and guests, and not necessarily those of this station, Business Talk Radio Network, its management, or advertisers. The information on the Business Talk Radio Network does not constitute a recommendation, offer, or solicitation to buy or sell any product or securities. Investing involves risks. Please consult a professional before investing. If you have any questions or comments about the Business Talk Radio Network, contact us at 203-323-7300 or at our website, businesstalkradio.net.
IRN USA Radio News, I'm Ron Allen. 12 people are dead, possibly more, after a strong earthquake shook northeastern India and Nepal. The quake was a 6.9 trembler and was felt across northeastern India, including the capital, New Delhi. The quake damaged buildings and triggered mudslides that have cut off some remote areas. Libyan revolutionary forces and fighters loyal to Muammar Gaddafi have been trading fire near the town of Bani Walid. The two sides have been battling for more than a week as the former rebels try to crush Gaddafi's loyalists. They have been fighting in Gaddafi's hometown of Sirte, where families have been streaming out of the city attempting to escape the violence. Dominique Strauss-Kahn, the former chief of the International Monetary Fund, is calling his encounter with a New York hotel maid a moral failing. He said there was no violence, constraint, or aggression involved, and he said he infinitely regrets the incident. I'm Ron Allen.
How would an extra $700 to $3,000 a month affect your lifestyle? You could build a financial cushion, pay off some debt, save a little, maybe take a nice family vacation. Wouldn't it be nice just not to have to worry about money all the time? Hi, how in the world are you anyway? I'm Andy Willoughby from the 3-Step Plan Home Business System. For over 10 years, we've been helping families add extra income to their budget by building a 3-Step Plan Home Business. We would like to send you a free video that will show you step-by-step how to add $700, $3,000, or even more extra income using your telephone and the Internet. This video will also show you how you could save thousands of dollars on your taxes and get a bigger tax refund every year. To get this free video, go to 3stepusa.com. That's 3stepusa.com or call 800-480-2102. That's 800-480-2102.
Deadly violence has once again reared its ugly head in the stalemate in Yemen between anti-government forces and President Ali Abdullah Saleh. Witnesses say 100,000 demonstrators massed around the state television building and government offices when security forces opened fire with anti-aircraft and automatic weapons. 12 people have been killed and dozens wounded. 41 suspected members of al-Qaeda have gone on trial in Saudi Arabia, accused of planning attacks on U.S. forces in Kuwait and Qatar. Sunday, some of the defendants were reportedly charged with recruiting and sending militants to fight in Iraq and sending money to Taliban fighters. The report said one Qatari, one Yemeni, and an Afghan national are among the accused, while the other 38 are Saudis. Saudi authorities did not say why it took 8 years to bring them to trial. For the latest news and analysis, log on to IRNUSANews.com.
Final round time. If two's company and three's a crowd, what's 207?
A bar mitzvah?
Correct. Opportunity never knocks twice. Why not?
It's got sore knuckles?
Correct.
Yes.
How fast does Netflix let you watch TV episodes and movies?
Instantly, through your game console or other devices.
Correct! Watch unlimited TV episodes and movies for only $8 a month from Netflix. See terms of use.
Yeah.
Sir, put your shirt back on.
But I'm excited.
You're scaring the children.
Former President Bill Clinton says getting people back to work should be President Obama's top priority. Courtesy CBS, Face the Nation.
And I'd like to see the economic plan that he talked about in his address to Congress enacted first. Then when the economy starts growing again in a year or two, then I'd like to put the hammer down on this deficit problem.
Congressman Paul Ryan, Republican of Wisconsin, says it's not a good idea for President Obama to pursue a new tax rate for the wealthy.
It looks like the president wants to move down the class warfare path. Class warfare will simply divide this country more, will attack job creators, divide people, and it doesn't grow the economy. Permanent tax increases on job creators doesn't work to grow the economy. It's actually fueling the uncertainty that is hurting job growth right now. Most small businesses file their taxes as individuals. So when you're raising these top tax rates, you're raising taxes on these job creators where more than half of Americans get their jobs from in this country.
As the UK tightens its belt amid continued economic uncertainty, a senior government official said he's adding 2,000 extra tax inspectors to make sure that Britain's wealthiest people feel the squeeze. The British Treasury's chief secretary, Danny Alexander, told the Sunday Independent newspaper his priority was making sure that those with the broadest shoulders bear their fair share of the burden. With IRN USA Radio News, I'm Ron Allen.
We want the best for ourselves and our families, right? But it's not always easy or practical to actually own the thing that's the absolute best in its class. Fortunately, when it comes to the eggs you serve, you can actually experience the best. Eglin's Best. In the world of eggs, Eglin's Best are unique and special. They come from hens that are fed a patented, high-quality, all-natural, all-vegetarian diet without added hormones, antibiotics, or steroids of any kind. This produces eggs that have superior taste and superior nutrition. In fact, Eglin's Best tastes like no other, with more of the delicious farm-fresh taste you love. It's no surprise that Eglin's Best have won many taste awards, including the gold medal for superior taste, appearance, and freshness from the American Masters of Taste. Eglin's Best are winners when it comes to nutrition, too. Compared to regular eggs, Eglin's Best provide 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Yet they have 25% less saturated fat. Superior taste and nutrition add up to superior value, too. So why settle for any old egg when you can experience the best?
Welcome to Animals Today, your home for serious talk about animals. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshner. Here on Animals Today, we're always interested in meeting individuals who teach young people about having respect and compassion for animals, whether they do it formally in classrooms, as part of an organization, as authors, or just on their own. I just think, and many others do as well, that when children have a sense of respect and love for animals, that this becomes part of who they are. They are friendlier, nicer people all around, right? So Peter and I were happy to receive a great children's book called Cheery, The True Adventures of a Chiricahua Leopard Frog, and to read about the author Elizabeth Davidson, who has indeed devoted much of her life to teaching kids these important lessons. So that's later in the show. And I'm telling you, if you have kids, and even if you don't have kids, you may just want to buy this book. So stay tuned. But first, returning to Animals Today is one of our favorite guests, animal behaviorist Professor Nick Dodman. Nick is professor and founder of the Tufts University Animal Behavior Clinic, where he has research, teaching, and clinical duties. Some of his more popular books include The Dog Who Loved Too Much, The Cat Who Cried for Help, and most recently, The Well-Adjusted Dog. Recently, Nick and his colleagues have made some breakthroughs in understanding and teaching canine compulsive disorder. And this may actually improve our understanding of obsessive compulsive disorder in people. Welcome back to the show, Nick.
Good to be here, Laurie. Thanks for having me on.
Nick, I want to begin by talking about canine compulsive disorder. Explain what this is.
Well, when I started looking at it, I didn't know what it was myself. There were a bunch of conditions that occur in animals that were sort of enigmas. They were written up since the 1960s in veterinary books, and things like dogs who compulsively, we now know to use the word correctly, lick their front leg, usually in the vicinity of their wrist, or sometimes their hind leg lower down. Dogs who spin and chase in circles. Dogs who suck on their flanks or stare at things and chase things that aren't there, these sort of things. And they were called stereotypies. And I became very interested in them just because I did, and it was something that was a puzzle. While we were looking at them in the early 1990s, child psychiatrist Judith Rappaport at the National Institute of Mental Health discovered, actually, strangely, through a popular press book she wrote about, it was called The Boy Who Could Not Stop Washing. And when she'd finished her national tour, her book tour, she got back to her office and all the people were calling her saying, "Hey, my dog does that. He can't stop washing. Maybe he's got the compulsive disorder that the boy in the book had." And she goes, clever woman that she is, instead of saying, "Well, can't be true, it's an animal," she said, "Well, let's look at it." And so she did some experiments treating dogs with what we call lick granuloma, where they lick their wrists, seems like hand washing, compulsively to the point of damage. She studied them with human anti-obsessional drugs and find out, lo and behold, they respond to the same extent over the same time course as humans with OCD. So through the 90s, she was saying, you know, animals have OCD too, and the dog is a very good model. And we all sort of bandwagoned along. And there was another psychiatrist, Dr. Hollander, who said, well, OCDs aren't just hand washing and showering. There's a whole spectrum of them. And he coined the term obsessive compulsive spectrum disorders, which was much wider. And I absorbed that too, and actually suddenly started looking at animals in a different light. And when you look at all the species, when they have the genetic predisposition and they're put in the pressure cooker of life, just like us, they can erupt into compulsive disorders that may or may not be preceded by an obsessive thought. You can't prove the thought in an animal, but it does look for all the world like a lot of them do obsess.
Yeah. Do we know what percentage of dogs in America suffer from compulsive behaviors?
It's probably very similar to the percentage of people. So people, it's 2.5 to 3% of the global population has obsessive compulsive disorder. And in dogs, various figures have emerged. One of them was 5% of a behaviorist caseload. Another one was 8% of a particular caseload. These are kind of specialized caseloads. So across the board, it's probably closer to 2.5%, just like people.
Do you think, Nick, compulsive disorder or behaviors is a common reason for owners to surrender or abandon their dogs or choose to have them euthanized?
I know that animal behavior problems in general, including aggression and certain phobias, extreme behaviors, and probably the compulsive disorders too, are reasons that people surrender animals to shelters and pounds. I mean, it's a very common, it's probably the most common reason for them ending up there, whether the people admit that or whether they disguise the truth.
Yeah. Yeah. Are certain breeds more susceptible to compulsive behaviors?
Yes. As a matter of fact, just about every breed has its own particular penchant. So, for example, tail chasing, compulsive tail chasing, a whirling dervish to the point of really not having a life, or maybe sometimes to a lesser degree, that typically affects bull terriers and German shepherds. The compulsive licking, we knew, and Dr. Rappaport paid homage to the fact that that occurs mainly in large breed dogs, typically over 50 pounds, oftentimes Labradors, Golden Retrievers, Doberman Pinschers, Great Danes, and some other dogs of that kind of stature, but really a pretty discrete group. The compulsive disorders that involve predatory compulsions, like snapping at invisible flies, tend to be the terriers. So something like a Jack Russell or something would be prone to that, but many of the terriers. So, and the border collies, who are naturally herding dogs, will tend to chase and herd sort of shadows and imaginary things that aren't there, and they disappear down imaginary rabbit holes. So that's a derivation of predatory.
At what age do these behaviors tend to develop?
Same age as they do in people. So, you know, with people, they say typically they'll arise in sort of when you're in single-digit ages, you know, maybe 7 or 8 or 9, or perhaps in teenage years. And if you haven't got it by the time you're 30, you're not going to get it. And it's the same with dogs pretty much, and that is, you know, for the ones we've studied, it tends to develop in and around what you might call adolescence, you know, sexual maturity, which for a dog would be in the sort of 6 to 8 month age, you know, possibly as old as a year.
I want to talk about your research, Nick, but before that I want to ask you, what are the conventional or traditional methods compulsive behaviors be treated?
Well, once again, going from the human animal to the, you know, domestic animal, human animal, you have only two treatments. One of them is cognitive therapy, which people might understand as talk therapy of various types, and drugs. Obviously, we don't have talk therapy. You could sit a dog on a couch and talk to it till the cows came home, and he wouldn't really understand the sentences. So we substitute environmental enrichment, making sure that the animal has a full and healthy life, has an opportunity to run, which generates serotonin in the brain, the exercise, make sure the diet is sensible, make sure communication is clear, make sure the environment is set up both inside and outside for lots of mental occupation enjoyment, and, you know, basically a life with a purpose.
Nick, you and a team of scientists discovered a genetic link to a compulsive behavior appearing in the Doberman Pinscher. Tell us about that, please.
Yeah, we started a long time ago after the surge of interest in compulsive disorders at NIH. I was sort of sitting there as the bubble was shrinking, and a scientist who was formerly a branch chief at NIH, Dr. Edward Ginz, he came up to Massachusetts, to the University of Massachusetts, and his office was no more than 20 minutes from my own. We knew of each other, so we met, and we had a discussion about compulsive behaviors, and he said, you know, I'll help you. If you get a dog breed, and we sat down and discussed which ones, I think we came up with the Doberman because there's a clear-cut genetic problem there called flank sucking. We wanted to continue our work with bull terriers. We discussed actually some compulsive disorders in cats and horses. He said, if you collect, you do the good phenotype work, you identify the behavior in truly affected animals and have an equal group of truly squeaky clean unaffected animals, I will extract the DNA and then we'll wait until the technology catches up and we can do the test. And I said to him, if we discover the gene that causes compulsive disorder in animals and it turns out to be the same as it is in people, you know, would that be important for you? Because, you know, your edict is to discover genes for schizophrenia and depression. He said, if we discovered the gene for obsessive compulsive disorder, it would justify the existence of the entire Brudnik Research Institute that he was heading up, you know, multi-million-dollar operation.
Wow.
So I said, wow. So when the time came, he called me in 2007. He said, the technology's here. The dog genome's finally been worked out. A SNP chip has been invented, put together. And we'll be able to look and see. So we sent the work out, like work for hire, to Broad Institute, paid to have them run the SNP chip, and got it analyzed by a special statistician. And lo and behold, we had this major hit, a locus, on canine chromosome 7 in the Doberman. We chose to look at the Dobermans first with the flank-sucking, blanket-sucking compulsion.
Wait, Nick, this is a great time to stop you. We got to take a break.
Okay.
More with Nick Dodman, the behaviorist, right after this message. You're listening to Animals Today. I'm Dr. Lori Kirshen. This is great, huge stuff here. Very interesting. Don't go away. More with Nick Dodman.
Walking the dog. Yes, a walking bird dog.
As temperatures climb, please remember to never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute on a warm day with the windows cracked and in the shade. The temperature inside a car can climb up in a matter of minutes, and it's enough to kill your pet. If you love your pet, leave them at home or with someone you trust. Keep them cool, comfortable, and alive. And if you see a dog or other pet in a car, you may only have a moment to save their life. Here are a couple of steps that you should remember. Make an announcement in the store or business the car is parked nearest to, and call the police department or animal control right away. Remember, it only takes a minute or two on a hot day to kill an animal left inside a car. Your swift action can save a life. Dogs are unable to cool themselves the way people can. Never leave your dog in the car, not even for a minute. This message is presented by Desert Paws. Visit them online at desertpaws.org. That's desertpaws, all one word, .org.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable, and it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway. Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-644-7850. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer. Call 1-800-644-7850. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv, plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-7850. That's 1-800-644-7850.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
Welcome back to Animals Today. This is a huge discovery. This is so interesting. We're talking to Nick Dodman. He's a very well-known behaviorist. And Nick was talking to us about a genetic link to a compulsive behavior in Dobermans. I think he was talking about flank sucking. Just before the break, Nick was telling us that he discovered a genetic locus. Go ahead, Nick.
Well, the flank sucking and blanket sucking that Dobermans do is a strange behavior, but it is clearly genetic, which is why we chose to look at it first. We have got lots of other dog samples lined up, but 70% of some litters are affected, so that's how powerful the genetic influence is. So it was clear, slam dunk genetic. What they actually do is they take their mouth and put it around their flank or sort of hip region, and they kind of go into nursing mode and kind of suckle like they're, it's like a thumb sucking type thing, and their eyes go shut and their mouth goes chewing backwards and forwards. Or they do the same on blankets, which they may ingest and may become obstructed with. And one animal we were communicating with the owner, and actually it died of an intestinal obstruction from eating something because of this problem. It's also associated with a thing that in Dobermans they call shopping, which is very much like hoarding in people or autism, that they have a fascination with objects and they keep getting objects and they bring them back to a certain location, and sometimes they organize them into patterns and triangles or lines and so on. So the shopping, the eating, the flank sucking is all really part of the same syndrome. So we looked at that, and we found that on canine chromosome 7, that there was an area where there was this massive peak, which means that it was different from the control animals and the affected animals, this big hit on chromosome 7. And the interesting thing is the hit wasn't just a random hit. It didn't just fall in a piece of, you know, what used to be thought called junk DNA. It fell precisely on a gene called a neurocadherin, one of the cadherin family of genes. And these guys are super interesting and getting more and more implicated in the sort of psychiatric disease. So, for example, cadherin 9 and 10 have been implicated in autism, actually as has cadherin 8. They're responsible for cell-to-cell adhesion, and this particular one, neurocadherin, expresses itself in areas of the brain that are known to be involved in obsessive-compulsive disorder in people. So a neurological gene expressing itself in the brain, controlling processes that we know are involved in OCD, it couldn't have been a more thrilling finding. So it was published in one of the Nature series of journals called Molecular Psychiatry. It's a sort of subset. Nature is a family of journals with the one parent journal. So Nature accepted it, and it was published as a short communication in January of 2010, and it caused a huge ripple in the world of obsessive-compulsive disorder research. Right before it was published, we hopped on a plane, went down to the National Institute of Mental Health, talked to Dennis Murphy, who's the head of clinical studies there and another branch chief, him and his geneticists, and we said, you know, here's the secret that we're going to publish shortly. Haven't published it yet. And his eyes just blinked, and he said, this is something that is just too important to ignore. And then he looked kind of wise and looked over the table, and he said, if we change our funding in the direction of looking for this gene, looking at this gene in people with obsessive-compulsive disorder, and our effort and our dollars in this direction, will you allow us to be first and last author on the paper? So we said, sure. And so he started work on it with his guys. They took, you know, this novel gene, looked at it in human OCD, and the findings are, and now quote him again, we have made, quote, a major discovery. And to some extent, it's a little bit under wraps, because it's due to be aired for the first time at a meeting of the, I think it's Neuropsychiatric Institution or some such in Hawaii in December. And the full publication is in the final stages of preparation for submission to a, you know, pretty prestigious journal. So it's a bit under wraps, but let's say, yeah, we were suspicious this gene, which caused compulsive disorder in dogs, might have some influence on compulsive disorder in people. And yes, indeed, it does. And actually, the findings extend a bit further than that, but I probably am not at liberty to say that right now. So it's getting even more exciting as we speak. And also, one of the things that this gene does is it controls the formation of certain receptors in the brain, which we hypothesize from a different direction, from sort of psychopharmacology, were involved in obsessive-compulsive disorder. So the following month, in February 2010, we published an article in a journal called Clinical Psychopharmacology, where we had taken our idea to Harvard Medical School Psychiatry Department, and they tried our idea of using drugs that block the so-called NMDA receptor to treat human OCD, and the findings which were published in February 2010 are affirmative that yes, indeed, by blocking these receptors, you do attenuate obsessive-compulsive disorder symptoms in people. And we'd previously done it in animals from mice and dogs and horses, and then we took it to the human animal. So actually, it's bringing us closer. When you look at it in a very, take several steps back and look at the research, what it's doing is it's showing that we, no surprise to me, are more like animals than we would like to think. And we have the same, you know, mental issues, same sort of psychiatric conditions, the same anxious problems, the same disturbances. And, you know, who would have thought it, that we were all mammals in this world together? I mean, we've done some imaging studies, very fancy imaging studies at Harvard, which show that anatomically, this is not unpublished so far, but the changes we're finding in the Dobermans, the same ones we took the blood samples for the genetic tests, are identical to the changes that you see in humans with OCD. So anatomically, pharmacologically, genetically, and if you look at it in a species with a species bias on it, it's actually even functionally very similar in the sense that they are repetitive disorders, one that the animal does not seem to be able to control easily on its own. You know, while it can be interrupted, they go straight back to it, sometimes resulting in injury. You know, humans with compulsive hand washing, often the first clinician they go to see is a dermatologist because they wonder why their hands are all red and chapped. And when he finds out they're washing their hands for 7 hours a day, he sends them to the psychiatrist.
I know you have a seminar coming up, and I want to talk about that. Will you tell my listeners about that?
Yes, I'll be talking about compulsive disorder and other things, including aggression and fears and phobias, at a meeting in Florida, in Davie, which is near Fort Lauderdale, first weekend in November, 4th through 6th. First day is cats, second 2 days are dogs. It's a 3-day seminar, lots of professionals go, but owners can go too. We get vets in attendance, vet techs, and so on. But for anyone who can't go there, just check out my website, thepetdocs.com. You'll see about how to get there, and there's also DVDs of a previous meeting in Walnut Creek, so you can see what you would have missed if you can't get there.
Behaviorist Nick Dodman, thanks for coming on Animals Today. Don't go away, we're going to be talking about amphibians, the problems they face, and what we're doing to help them. And we're going to learn about a great book called Cheery, a friendly little Chiricahua leopard frog, which helps children grasp the problem these creatures face and understand the solutions. You're listening to Animals Today.
What makes you think you're something special when you smile? Childlike, no one understands.
That's the sound of a dog whose vocal cords were cut just to stifle her voice. It's called devocalization, and it's done to cats as well. Devocalized animals rasp and wheeze, cough and gag the rest of their lives. Some are rendered mute. And for what? So a commercial or hobby breeder can keep many animals without having to listen to them. So show dogs will be quiet in transit between shows or in the ring. So an irresponsible pet owner can leave a dog alone for hours every day. Animals Today joins with Coalition to Protect and Rescue Pets in saying shame on anyone who would have a dog or cat devocalized, and shame on the vets who perform this inhumane, unnecessary surgery for them. Please speak out against devocalization of dogs and cats. Use your voice. Protect theirs. This message is sponsored by Desert Paws. Visit them at desertpaws.org.
I'm sure you're thinking, boy, I'd like to pay less for my car insurance, but switching seems like a lot of work, all the hassle and whatnot. Well, I'm here to tell you that is simply not the case. GEICO makes it so easy to switch and start saving money straight away, without getting buried in a ton of paperwork. You know, that actually happened to me once. Literally, I was buried under my income taxes for 6 days. Haunting, really.
For a free rate quote, visit GEICO.com. GEICO, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
I'm in the, we use 50 kinds of fasteners, and if we run low, we need more of them. Fast business.
At Grainger, we know what business you're in.
The more our customers grow, the more we grow business.
The business of getting things done. That's why we offer over 900,000 products and the support you need to get your job done right and on time. Call, click Grainger.com, or stop by one of our branches. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
I have something to confess. I just love eggs. Eggs for breakfast, eggs for lunch, for dinner, you name it. To me, eggs are all about freshness, wholesomeness, and home. As I said, I just love them. And the eggs I love best? That's easy. Eggland's Best. No other egg I've tried tastes as farm fresh and delicious. I love my EBs sunny side up, but they're great any way you prepare them. And lest you think Eggland's eggs are only about superior taste, let me tell you about their superior nutrition. Compared to ordinary eggs, Eggland's Best have 10 times more vitamin E, 3 times more vitamin B12, and 2 times more vitamin D. Plus, they're a good source of omega-3s and lutein. Oh, and I almost forgot to mention, they have 25% less saturated fat than regular eggs. Now that's what I call a super egg. Look for all-natural Eggland's Best at your local grocers in regular, cage-free, and organic varieties. If you love eggs the way I do, it's time you experienced eggs at their best. Eggland's Best. Better taste, better nutrition. Better eggs.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable, and it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Welcome back to the show. So, as you might imagine, Peter and I received numerous books to review for consideration to mention or talk about on the show. And when it comes to children's books, there's just so many out there. But the ones that really catch our interest are the ones that teach or encourage compassion and respect for animals. And just recently, we received a book called Cheery, The True Adventures of a Chiricahua Leopard Frog. And Cheery's story follows his life history from egg to tadpole to frog, the problems he and other leopard frogs are facing today, and what scientists and others are doing to protect them. And the book is complete with notes and lesson guides for parents and teachers. So I'd like to welcome the author of the book, Dr. Elizabeth Davidson. Dr. Davidson received her doctorate in entomology from Ohio State University, where she studied the interactions between insects and bacteria. In recent years, she has focused her research on the diseases of amphibians and has worked in collaboration with scientists from around the globe. Their work has shown that amphibians are disappearing at an alarming rate in countries all over the world. Dr. Davidson and her colleagues are working to isolate the various causes of these population declines and to help preserve these fascinating creatures. Dr. Davidson and her husband, Dr. Joseph Davidson, have been at Arizona State University since 1973. Welcome to the program, Elizabeth.
Thank you very much. It's nice to be here.
Elizabeth, first off, since your book is geared toward children in grades 1 through 4, and the very first page of the book has the phonetic spelling of the word Chiricahua, I sure hope I pronounced it correctly.
Yes, you did. It isn't easy to pronounce, nor is it easy to spell.
Elizabeth, let's start by asking you how you became interested in amphibians.
Well, it was one of those accidental hallway conversations with a colleague who had just spoken about the salamanders dying down in southern Arizona. We got very interested in this. A student who was working in my lab at the time got fascinated, and lo and behold, within a few months, he found a brand new virus that it was killing the salamanders down there. That led us into this more than a decade of research in this area. So you never know what you're going to find out when you talk to somebody in the hallway.
Yeah, that's right. How serious is this problem, Elizabeth, of declining populations of amphibians in the United States and around the world?
It's extremely, extremely difficult problem. We know that at least a third of the amphibians are going extinct, or many of them have already gone extinct. Many are down to just a few. A few are trying to bounce back. But we know that this is a major problem, and literally all over the world. Our colleagues have followed it through Central and South America, through Australia, and a number of other places.
So what's causing the decline in populations of amphibians?
Well, we'd like to think that there's a single cause, but of course that's not the way anything works. We know that a number of different things are happening. But the one that our group has been working on for probably over a decade now is a disease, a particular fungus disease that seems to be associated with the loss of many of these populations. That one has the very difficult to pronounce name of Batrachochytrium dendrobatidus. We call it BD. It's a very unusual fungus that this is the first time it has been found in an animal with a backbone. So it's really a difficult thing, and we're not at all sure how it's getting around.
Elizabeth, tell my listeners why we should care that the numbers of frogs are decreasing. Tell us how this population decline or extinction of some of these species of amphibians upsets ecosystems.
Well, frogs and salamanders are near or at the top of many of what we call the ecosystem pyramids. They are they feed on insects. They are themselves fed on by things such as big fish. And birds. So they are very important in many ecosystems, particularly in small ones such as we have here in Arizona, in which a pond is not a very big place, and the frogs that are in that pond may be extremely critical to the ecosystem within that pond. Also, frogs are used for many things that people don't realize. Of course, they're used in the classroom. And a number of our colleagues have worked on the amazing chemicals that are in the skins of these frogs that may someday be important antibiotics. So there are just many, many reasons why we really should be concerned about the loss of frogs.
So what's being done to help these animals?
Well, there are a number of things. One is that now that we're alert about this, we're being much more careful about moving things around that might be moving disease or doing other problems. The government agencies are being very concerned about people taking frogs from ponds all over the world. But one of the more interesting things is called the amphibian ark. And we are now doing captive breeding, it's called, in zoos and parks so that these species can be kept and grown up and eventually return back after the places where they came from are made safe. And Cheery is one of those stories.
Yes, the book does focus on Cheery, who is a Chiricahua leopard frog. Where do these frogs live?
Originally, they were in a number of ponds in Arizona and down into the northern Mexico, and that was their total habitat.
And Elizabeth, in the book you also mentioned that people brought bullfrogs and crayfish to the pond where Cheery was raised. Why do people do that, and what's the consequences of that?
Okay. Arizona is one of the only states in the union that does not have a native crayfish, and people have brought them in for bait. And so that was one of the things. I mean, they literally brought them in to breed them up for bait. The other is that bullfrogs, again, were not native there in many places, and they were brought in. I'm not too sure why. Actually, many of us just think they were cute when we were kids, and we might have brought them in just for that. But bullfrogs can carry the fungus disease and don't die of it. Crayfish are really major predators on the tadpoles.
Mm. Also in the book, the impression is given that the zoos and the zoo people are heroes for these frogs, Cheery, where they take Cheery. He's taken away out of his pond and brought to a zoo where he was cared for and where captive breeding occurs. And then Cheery is placed back in his old pond after the zoo people remove all the bullfrogs and crayfish from it. Do you find that zoos are focusing more on conservation efforts than in the past? Are these zoos that are doing the type of work you describe in your book, and in contrast to just displaying and warehousing animals?
Yes, this is a side of zoos that most people who take their children to visit a zoo have no idea about. It's usually going on back in behind somewhere where you can't really go and see it. But it really is a heroic thing that they are doing, very important to the ecology of the area. And the Phoenix Zoo is one of those that is actually one of the ones that's breeding the Chiricahua frogs.
So, Elizabeth, what can children and or adults do to help protect amphibians?
Well, one of the main things they can do, aside from the fact that, for one thing, kids love them. They think they're fun to play with, and that's great. So that gets them interested in them. But one of the things that's important is when your pet, whatever it is that you're playing with, you've captured a frog, you've got it in an aquarium at home, or you've purchased a fancy little frog, and you get tired of it, do not put it back into a pond somewhere. Because we're pretty sure that is one of the ways that this has gotten moved around. So that's a major thing. And also for them to appreciate, this is a beautiful animal. It's a wonderful thing to play with. It's a wonderful thing to study, but it's also very important to us and to everybody, all the other living things in the area.
Good message. And, Elizabeth, in the last minute, what can parents do to instill respect and compassion for animals and nature in their children?
Well, you've mentioned zoos, and I think actually a zoo is a great place for you to go with your kids. And even when they're really little, and say, look, isn't this beautiful? Isn't it wonderful? And this is what it does, and this is why we should care about it.
Dr. Elizabeth Davidson, the book is Cheery, The True Adventures of a Chiricahua Leopard Frog. Great for young kids, available everywhere. Thank you, Elizabeth. Thank you for your work, and thanks for joining us on Animals Today.
Well, thank you very much.
You're listening to Animals Today. This is your home for serious talk about animals. And as you know, the show tackles the important issues concerning all animals, how they're treated by people, and their place in our society. And, of course, we promote greater respect for and kindness toward all living creatures. You're not going to want to go away because we have Peter and the news right after the break.
And soothing as the rain, a frog in South America has the antidote for pain. And that's the way it's always.
There's no getting around it. The great outdoors isn't so great for your cat. From speeding cars to toxic lawn chemicals, coyotes to cruel humans, cats are no match for the dangers of today's world. The good news is animal behaviorists say cats don't need to go outside to be happy. Your family will be happier and much healthier, too, without the ticks, fleas, diseases, and the dead critters that outdoor cats bring their owners. And you'll never have to explain to a sobbing child who or what hurt her pet or why he hasn't come home. For starters, don't let your kitten out. He won't miss what he doesn't know. But even adult cats can adapt to life indoors. The key is to provide attention, exercise, and a stimulating environment. Play with your cat. You can hide toys around the house, too. Just make sure there are no detachable parts that can be swallowed. Is he still wanting to get out? Consult an animal behaviorist for more tips. Animals Today urges you, don't give up. Right now, today, you can protect your cat from becoming a tragic statistic. Tomorrow may be too late.
This message is brought to you by Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
So you and your family have decided to get a dog or cat. We think that's great, and we want to remind you to adopt your next pet instead of buying. That's because there are so many lovable, adoptable dogs and cats waiting to go home that it just doesn't make sense to buy a pet from a breeder or pet store. And tragically, 50 to 70% of all animals that enter shelters are euthanized. That's millions per year. So when you adopt your pet from a shelter, most likely you really are saving a life. Did you know that most dogs sold in pet stores come from puppy mills, crowded, inhumane breeding facilities that exist simply for the profit of their owners? Did you ever consider that dog breeders are in business mainly to create and sell animals? Buying animals just makes pet overpopulation worse because it perpetuates unneeded breeding and takes away chances to live from sheltered animals. Even if you want a particular breed, you should still visit a shelter because 20 to 25% of animals housed in shelters are purebred, or contact an animal rescue group that works with the breed you like. With not much effort, you can usually find your perfect companion. So remember, adopt and save a life. It'll give you a nice, warm, and furry feeling. This message is from Desert Paws. Visit us at desertpaws.org.
Have you heard? Proactiv is better than ever. Stay tuned for a million bottle giveaway.
Do you have troubled skin, acne? Well, we have great news. With Proactiv, your acne can heal and you can prevent new breakouts from happening. Be one of the first to try it by giving us a call at 1-800-644-7850. Because we're going to let a million people try Proactiv risk-free and also receive our legendary refining mask and green tea moisturizer free if you call right now. You heard it. Be one of the first to try Better Than Ever Proactiv Solution. You'll receive a 60-day risk-free trial, plus a free refining mask and green tea moisturizer.
call 1-800-644-7850. This is our best radio offer. Get your risk-free 60-day trial of Proactiv plus two free extras. Go to GetProactive.com or call 1-800-644-7850. That's 1-800-644-7850.
I'm child behavioral therapist James Lehman. I know you need the Total Transformation Program to turn around your child's behavior, but for some reason you haven't tried it. Maybe you're skeptical and doubt that it will work for you and your child. Listen, I'm willing to give away 1,000 copies of the Total Transformation to the most skeptical of parents for free. All I need you to do is send me your feedback about how it works for you and your child, and the program will be free. You get the program for free, and I get the satisfaction of knowing how the Total Transformation helped your child. Anyone who says they can change your child's behavior should be willing to prove it. We're going to prove once and for all that the Total Transformation Program works for every behavior problem imaginable. And it'll be free to 1,000 of my most skeptical customers.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402. That's 1-800-586-1402. 1-800-586-1402.
Who's watching your home when you're not there? It could be a burglar. Burglars prefer to break in when they think nobody's home and no one will stop them. Don't be an easy target for intruders. Protect your home with a free security system monitored by ADT, the leader in home security. Pick up your phone now and get free hardware, free medical and fire alert, and free activation. It's an $850 value. Just call Protect Your Home, your authorized ADT dealer, at 1-866-789-3377. You'll get 24-hour protection, and there's no cost for parts or activation. Call now about a free security system monitored by ADT. Call 1-866-789-3377. $99 installation charge, 36-month monitoring agreement, $35.99 per month. Call for terms and conditions to this offer and protect your home license numbers. Call now, 1-866-789-3377. That's 1-866-789-3377.
Hey, welcome back to the show. Hi, Peter.
Good morning, good afternoon, whatever.
did you listen in on my interview with Dr. Elizabeth Davidson?
Yes, I did.
I just love her book. It's really delightful. It's called Cheery, The True Adventures of a Chiricahua Leopard Frog, and it's just a children's book, and it's just wonderful. Peter, I have to respectfully disagree with her opinion that zoos are a great place to bring your kids mm-hmm. to instill respect and compassion for living creatures. I know she is a believer of that, and I just want my listeners to know that I just respectfully disagree.
And
I
why is it? What's wrong with her argument that you can show them how nice they are? And
I know you're just asking me this to explain everything to my listeners, but it's my opinion. I strongly think zoos in general, not conservation / zoos. I'm talking about the traditional zoos. They use animals, exploit animals for profit. Mm-hmm. I don't think it instills compassion in kids. I think it shows children that we can control them, that we can display them for our profit, for their entertainment and amusement, and I think it's wrong. You have to agree.
I happen to agree with that, but that's one of the perennial arguments that goes on about animals, whether we learn more from them by displaying them or whether the deeper messages are the ones that are lasting of we're in control, you're not.
Okay, so when your parents took you to a zoo when you were younger, you just
were
in awe that you saw the leopards and the giraffes and the whatever, right? You weren't saying, oh, this is an animal I want to respect, were you? You were saying, oh, this is normal that we can keep animals, a bobcat in a cage of a size of our bathroom, and that's okay, correct?
Oh, I don't. You know, I can't remember specifically, but I have a feeling that I probably left with more of a feeling that this is normal, this is the way it is,
right,
than anything else.
Yeah. Right, and that's wrong.
Okay, that's wrong.
Yeah. And
how about catching? Go ahead.
No, I was just thinking also, and Nick Dodman, our prior guest, he was great.
Yeah.
About compulsive disorders. And this link, this genetic link that he discovered is pretty amazing.
It is. It is.
And it's just, you know, compulsive disorders, obsessive compulsive disorders in humans, it's so common. I didn't realize how common it was.
Yeah.
And, you know, as people know, it can show up as excessive hand washing, like he was talking about, or repetitive checking of the stoves or the lights and the locks and or pulling out your hair or whatever. You know, don't you sometimes feel that you have this disorder? We've gone back to the house a couple times to see if we turned off the stove or if we left this almond milk on the table.
So maybe we will learn something about genetic testing and treatment through this. It sounds pretty exciting.
It sure does.
And he gave us a couple of hot news items that have not been published yet, so that was nice for him to come on and share that with us.
We're the first to hear it.
Yes.
Okay, so what's going on in the news?
So biggest crocodile possibly ever caught. Amazingly, there was a crocodile in the Philippines. It's allegedly 21 feet long, which would be at least 3 feet longer than the previous record holder. It was caught alive, which shocks most people who hear about this story. Apparently, it was sought for weeks because a couple of people were attacked or killed, and now they're deciding what to do with it. But whether it's the biggest ever is still needs to be determined. There is a lot of biologists, herpetologists who are skeptical that it's really 21 feet long, but we will find out soon. Now, what do you do with it? I don't know.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not going to release it because they suspect that it's killing or injuring people. But who can, where do you put it? Do you put it in a zoo? A croc sanctuary in the Philippines? I mean, what do you do with it?
Wow.
So that's an issue. Moving on, remember the SeaWorld massacre where, what was her name? Dawn Branshaw was killed by Tillicum.
Right.
So there are these hearings that are scheduled. They've been delayed a few times that OSHA is trying to hold to find out about the practices that happened at, excuse me, at SeaWorld. And it's getting pretty...